Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you pay respect to it, but I don't think you ever say that a championship doesn't hold up, because at the end of the day, the Lakers won round one, they won the conference semifinals, they won the conference finals, and then they won the NBA finals. They had to win 16, and they did.
All right, Eric, before we go, I just want to thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. I know it's the off season, and you're still, everybody's off here at the station. And so...
Well, Jeffrey's always off. So, I mean, whether he's there or not, he's off.
He's one of the hardest working men in the business. But I just want to say, Eric, it's an honor to talk to you on these airwaves. I'm somebody who works at night. Every night I'm somewhere, and I follow the Grizzlies mostly by watching bar and restaurant televisions with no sound. So the only sound I ever hear is when I'm in my car and tuning in, listen to Eric Hasseltine call the game when I'm driving to or from work or trying to catch it. You do such an awesome job, and Memphis is lucky to have you do the games. I just want to make sure I tell you that here today while I got you on.
I appreciate that, Kev. I'm happy for all your success as well. I know you've been working at it a long time, and it seems like when I do find time to hit the nightlife, I find some place where Cerrito trivia is rolling. So even down at Ghost River on Main, where I hang out a lot. So congratulations on that, and I appreciate the kind words, my friend.
Yeah, and the Hasseltine sliders are fantastic at Ghost River. So y'all got
you know what's funny is I've been helping out bartending down there a little this summer because they were a little short, and I was like, I just wanted to do it. And someone looked at me and they go, hold on a second. I just put two and two together. Those are named after you. And I said, yep, that's actually correct. It was just one random night I was sticking, because I love carbs. And now I've got to kind of curtail that. But I was just putting boneless chicken wings into Hawaiian rolls. And the owner, Bob Keske, goes, what is that? And I said, it's just like a chicken slider. It's delicious. And he goes, I'm putting that on the menu. And I didn't know he was going to name it after me. I said, I would. They're great.
They're fantastic. All right, Eric, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Have a great show, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, Kev.
All right. Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. When we come back, we'll get into the list. You are listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company. It's a special and company edition with Cerrito and Cobb here on 92.9 FM ESPN. All right. Welcome back to And Company. With Cerrito and Cobb, Jeffrey off this week. George is still here. He's going to give us an update later on. We're going to get to you're tracking on this baseball trade deadline, right? What time is the deadline at?
Deadline is at 5 o'clock Central Time. Things have heated up in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay,
are going a little crazy.
We'll get to it earlier than expected. So let's go ahead and fire up the list. It is trade deadline day for Major League Baseball. George has an update for us. He's been tracking it all day.
We have a couple of guys on the move that I don't think we fully expected, but we'll back it up just a little bit to about an hour ago. The New York Yankees picking up closer David Bednar from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Big pickup for the back end of their bullpen. Dodgers also adding to their relief pitching, picking up Brock Stewart from the Minnesota Twins, who are turning out to be sellers. Dodgers sending James Outman out for Brock Stewart. Twins also traded Harrison Bader off to, where did Bader end up? The Phillies. So Bader out. Minnesota also, the really big one that came up just about 3 minutes ago, the Minnesota Twins trading Carlos Correa back to Houston.
Oh, wow.
That is a reunion. Big-time reunion as the Astros look to win at the American League West yet again. But that is a huge one, and one that we're seeing from some sources, but not the big names quite just yet, but he may be on the move. Adolis Garcia, slugger from the Texas Rangers, may also be heading to the New York Mets, who have also picked up Cedric Mullins from the Baltimore Orioles.
So you mean to tell me the Rangers are selling, even though they're 5 games above 500? That's disappointing. Like, how, as a Rangers fan, you got to be like, wow. Like, really? You have no belief?
Yeah, and it's really weird there about Texas specifically because their pitching staff has performed so well. Healthy Jacob DeGrom is just an absolute stud as always. They're getting a lot of, you know, really good contributions from their young players. Two of them actually that we would know a little bit more about here going to back to Vanderbilt, both Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter playing a pretty hefty roles in that Texas Rangers rotation, both off to great starts to their careers.
Shout out to the Doors.
Shout out, Vandy.
Any more big trade news, George? Jump in, let us know. We're watching that here on the last day of July. The American Athletic Conference. That is no longer
it's the American, Kevin.
The American Conference.
I wonder if I have the eagle sound on here. Let me see if I can't find something for Soar.
Soar the eagle.
Which, this is just a running theory from Gabe and Connor. How do you think they created Soar? Is that AI generated, do we think? Did they go to Fiverr?
Soar?
Tim Pernetti just got on Google Gemini and was like,
make eagle with basketball.
Yeah.
So the American Conference, the one that the Tigers are still members of, they've announced they're doing something very rare in sports, which is they're making something smaller.
I love this, by the way.
They're reducing the content. The content is being reduced. Explain it to us. You're the college basketball expert here.
Okay. This is very smart and very good for Memphis. The American is doing something that is smart and good for Memphis. Like, wow. Here on July the 31st, 2025, those things are happening. And this,
I mean, we got to give credit. We're out of time out real quick. But they got to give credit. Like, I do feel like they are starting to treat Memphis the way they should always have been treating Memphis, which is
absolutely
special. Like,
absolutely.
Memphis needs special treatment. And I do feel like they're starting to get that more and more as they every change they make seems to benefit Memphis. But yeah, for the tournament, how's this going to benefit Memphis?
So no longer does everybody make the tournament in the American for basketball. And your top four teams are going to get automatic buys, or your top two, right, George? Your top two are going to get automatic buys to the semifinals. In all likelihood, barring something really unforeseen.
If they somehow found themselves in spot three, that would be bad.
That would be. But it rewards regular season performance right, and gives your best teams the best chance to make the NCAA tournament, which then gives your league the best chance to perform well in the NCAA tournament, the best chance to earn the units, a.k.a. money, that come with winning NCAA tournament games. So it means there's going to be fewer tickets to sell at the conference tournament because the bracket's smaller. Your high draws, your big-time programs won't be playing until the semifinals, but it's going to prop up your league and give your, let's say, Memphis and South Florida, maybe Tulane, you know, an opportunity to only have to go out and win two games to get that automatic bid. And that's so huge because we're talking about a one-bid league. So what they're doing is what the WCC did for Gonzaga. You mentioned the Americans should give Memphis preferential treatment for so long, and now Gonzaga is going to leave after this year. But for so long, the WCC did everything they could to keep Gonzaga happy, including making this ridiculous, like, seven-round bracket in which Gonzaga never even participated until the next to last day. But that's what you got to do because, if you make Gonzaga play three or four games in a 12 or a 16-team bracket or whatever, well, they're just going to get worn out and then risk taking a bad loss that knocks them down a seed on Selection Sunday. That's pointless. That is malpractice as a conference. And so the American has to get more strategic in basketball. Thankfully, they're doing that here. So Memphis can play potentially just two games. And
they'll be well-rested and less likely to screw something up.
And ideally, those two games will now be against some of the league's better teams because you get into the semifinals, you start in the semifinals. Whoever you're playing just had to beat somebody to get there, so chances are they're not just complete crap.
So you're not going to have to deal with a potential quad three, quad four type of loss, hopefully, on a neutral floor. And then you get to the championship game. You've played two games, right? You haven't worn yourself out. You haven't, I mean, because so often, especially with the American having its conference tournament championship game on a Sunday, we see those teams that play on Sunday of conference tournament week turn around, play a Thursday game in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and they struggle because they just exerted themselves to the max 5-6 days before, playing three or four games in their conference tournament that concludes on a Sunday, right? That's not what you want. So now you're ideally going to play just two. You're going to be well-rested going into the NCAA tournament. I think this is a very, very smart move.
Yeah, this is great. And I can't remember the last time I'm sure it's happened in other conferences to make this strategic plan, but so often it's like the NCAA tournament, they want to expand it. Everybody wants to expand everything, add more games, and this they know. Sometimes you can get addition by subtraction. Sometimes
exactly.
It's better, like so you lose one game of Memphis, traveling Memphis fans buying tickets.
Right. So it seems counterintuitive, right. But it's not because you're going to make that up in the NCAA tournament with a payoff in the units because Memphis is going to have a better seed. They're going to be more well-rested. They're going to perform better. Or whoever your champion is, right? Like, I mean, it's no secret. Like, my way too early bracketology, I actually have South Florida coming out of the American. I don't know if you know that. But, you know,
well,
so
you're telling me now, I can't believe it. Will you please leave the studio? South Florida?
Yeah, I think they got a squad, man. I'll blame Bart Torvik for this prediction. But Bart Torvik actually has South Florida ahead of Memphis in his preseason ratings. And so, you know, I went through all the conferences, all the one-bid leagues, and I think the American might be a one-bid league. And I said, all right, is what Bart Torvik has right, or do I see something with these other teams in the leagues that I think can override that? And I didn't see that when I looked at the American, because with Dane Danger's waiver being denied, with P.J. Haggerty leaving, now you got the uncertainty with Sincere Parker. South Florida has done a really nice job in the portal. They got a young up-and-coming star coach in Brian Hodgson, a pretty talented roster by AAC standards. So, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a tight race between those two.
So you've got me thinking, because I think we've all been really our egos and been thinking just about ourselves when we're talking about the NCAA tournament expanding. Would it be better for Memphis if the NCAA tournament expanded some? Would the chance that Memphis could get in, would have two American teams with an expanded NCAA tournament?
That's
a scenario there?
It's conceivable. That's what every mid-major league wants to think. That's their pitch, right? It's like, right. Oh, man. Maybe the Missouri Valley can get two bids now, right? And you remember when Indiana State got left out a couple years ago and there was mayhem over that. And it's like, oh, well, that Indiana State team would have gotten in if we expanded it by eight. And it's like, okay, yeah, maybe Indiana State would have gotten in. But then the other seven additional spots, I'm going to be honest, they probably would have gone to Big Ten teams that are barely above 500. They probably would have gone to SEC teams that go 6-12 in the league. And nobody wants that, right? Like, if we want to let the second-place team from the A-10 or the Missouri Valley or the American in, then I'm all for it. But I don't think that's what this is going to be. There's a scenario where it could help any team that's on the bubble, including a Memphis, but I don't think that's exactly how it would go down for the most part.
Not on a consistent basis. So, let's keep going. Costco! Okay, according to Brett McMurphy's report this morning, Costco is starting to sell discounted ticket packages for some home games for football this year. So you go to Costco, buy two ticket packages for South Carolina, Purdue, Louisville, Virginia, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Tulane, UConn, Western Michigan, and other schools get discounted tickets. Some include food and beverage credits or a parking pass. Costco, what can you not buy at Costco now?
Turn me up. You stop in, get some pizza, snacks, and football tickets while you're there. This reminds me of back in the day, you used to be able to buy Memphis football tickets at Kroger. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Yes, yeah. And you get a great deal on the Memphis tickets.
Yeah. You go to Kroger,
remember, no.
Get your groceries, and maybe I'll buy some Memphis football tickets.
Do they just throw those with the gift cards or over there? Up towards the register.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And then at one time, I don't know if you could actually get them at Sonic, but do y'all remember the $5 Grizzlies Sonic Saver ticket?
The Sonic Saver ticket, yes. The sponsored section at the top of
They should do that with Chick-fil-A now, since they've got like the Chick-fil-A like chunk of the forum.
I'm going to talk to my people about that, George.
Did I just have a great idea?
Yeah, I'm going to connect you with some people. We'll get that going, yeah.
Maybe they'll pay me more. Never mind.
That's what Gabe said yesterday.
Maybe they'll pay me more than they do here.
I said, you know, because Gabe put his head on a platter and said that if Memphis ever ends up in the MAC, he's going to quit his job.
And he did say that. He did.
And I said, all right, well, I'm going to make a fake Ross Dellinger tweet about the MAC accepting Memphis, and then I'm going to send you a Chick-fil-A job. And then he was like, can I get a raise? And I'm like, I know people, but I don't know that I know people that can
like
give
that,
you a raise.
Yeah. For me, I don't know how hard that would be. Quick update. We have three more things going on. Turns out, may have been a little bit preemptive. I'm also seeing now on the Adolis Garcia deal that was an erroneous report.
Report
about him going to the Mets was incorrect, but the Twins are making other moves as well, or I should say the Rangers acquiring a lefty Danny Colome from the Minnesota Twins, and the Astros making other moves, picking up outfielder Jesus Sanchez from the Marlins. It looks like these teams are doing what everyone does, where they just kind of wait until like the last hour or two and say, oh man, we probably need to get to work.
Right.
Because
it
feels like a lot of little things just rolling in as they start baseball tonight on ESPN.
Real quick on the Costco thing.
Well, yeah. Apparently they already sell tickets for Major League Baseball, the NFL, and MLS. But what are your thoughts?
Well, the Brett McMurphy tweet here is like, yeah, UConn, Purdue, Louisville, Virginia, Baylor. Okay, these are all teams that need help selling tickets. But then South Carolina is in this? That's poverty behavior from an SEC team to be selling your tickets at Costco. Especially coming off of a 9-3 season, and you're like,
but shouldn't you have to buy them in bulk though? These tickets, like, why can you only get a pair? Shouldn't they be selling you like?
It is Costco. That's a good point.
Like, right, it's Costco. You get a 24 pack of tickets to the South Carolina football game
with jumbo seats.
You can only get them if you buy a gigantic jug of pimento cheese,
and then throw in a 48 pack of Kirkland golf balls.
Are those actually any good?
They are. They're good golf balls. Yeah. I would play
the Costco brand
shamelessly. Yeah, there was a little bit of a stigma at first, but you see him like you end up in the woods. Not that I ever hit my ball in the woods, but you know, if I'm helping somebody else look for a wayward tee shot, you find a Costco ball as often as you find a Titleist these days. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, well, that's it. We'll see what else Costco. I didn't realize you get sports tickets, but yeah, Kroger. I feel like Kroger had tickets very, very recently, but the problem with that, they wouldn't be for every game, right? And you would think, oh, can I go get like the? It was a very cheap ticket, whatever one that Kroger had back when they did it. So let's see what else we're gonna put on the list here. Let's put Jalen Wells. Hey, yeah, Jalen Wells made the list. He's number 8 on ESPN's most interesting sophomores to watch for the 2025-2026 NBA season. The list coming out today. He's the only Grizzly on the list at number 8. They opted not to rank Edie due to his injury. And so they're.
Well, see, I would like actually firmly disagree with that because I feel like we know what Jalen Wells is. I mean, he is what he is, and he's a pretty good wing. He's not probably ever going to be an all-star, but he can be a starter caliber player for you. I am way, way more interested in what Zach Edey can be. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Kevin, but like I would say of the two, Edey is the one that's more interesting to me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Maybe it's just because he's not starting the season that they feel like, yeah, well, but I don't know why he wouldn't be on the list. They didn't want to put two Grizzlies on the list. Maybe that's the reason. But yeah, we were gonna put two Grizzlies. George, which one are you more interested in seeing what their sophomore season's going to be like? I mean, Edey is the one the future of the team on the court is very reliant on how he is going to end up being, you know, a top 10 pick.
I'm going to lean I'm just going to go with Zach Edey. I'm definitely more interested to see a couple different things from him. One, how does he rebound from an injury, or not just an injury, but a surgery to hopefully help prevent further injury on those ankles, which, and we talked about this when he initially had the surgery, this really is a preventative surgery at the end of the day, because this would have been his, third high ankle sprain or decent enough ankle sprain to require some sort of rest or rehab in the last 12 months. And then you find out, okay, well, he has this condition, this issue. Okay, let's get it fixed.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I mean, I guess their rationale on Jalen Wells is
he's actually playing the whole season for
and,
now.
And this is coming at a time, right, when Desmond Bane's out the door, Luke Kennard is out the door.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't know exactly what you're going to get from Cedric Coward. And so can Jalen Wells take that next step? Can he take a – does he take
and really
a,
earn his spot? Because, I mean, Edie has the spot if he's healthy and he's it's his spot.
Yeah,
but
that's –
Wells is kind of after – he's got to prove himself still a little bit coming from where he came from, Division II or whatnot.
It's within the realm of possibility, yeah, too, that Vince Williams could have a clean bill of health this year and kind of challenge for some of those minutes if Cedric Coward really pops off. I mean, Jalen Wells could go either way, right? I think he's so steady and so consistent that, like, he's kind of going to be what he is. But, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Vince Williams and Cedric Coward sort of make him have to scratch and claw and prove it all over again this next season. That would actually be ideal, though. I mean, in my mind, because if we're in a situation where Jalen Wells is fighting for minutes, that means the other wing talent around him is playing well and starting to live up to its potential. So, from that standpoint, I get it. But, obviously, like, I think way more of the franchise's ultimate aspirations kind of hang on the long-term health of Zach Edey and his ability to play 60-plus games, you know, over the course of an NBA season.
Yeah, I mean, the list is the most interesting, right? So, like, I mean, Jalen Wells' story is very interesting. I think it's just going to come down to, honestly, it's the Memphis hate, it seems like. We ain't going to put two Grizzlies on the list. We can't do that. We got to – so we'll just not
Cobb, put I think you as well, like, touched on something really interesting that I find with a guy like Jalen Wells, especially with his background – is that level of consistency as a player, because the one thing that we all looked at last year, even when he was going through his struggles towards the middle part, you know, late part of the season, where at that point he'd played more basketball in 1 year than any other year of his entire life.
Right. It's rookies like a brand new player. Yeah.
Rookies will hit that wall. The one thing we could never complain about with Jalen Wells was his effort.
Defense, yeah.
His defense and his effort. We can complain about the results of the way he was playing defense, but that's something we also complained about with almost every other player on the roster was, man, this team can't play defense right now. Wells is out there as a legitimate rookie playing through his rookie season in a position that he did not expect and the team didn't expect him to have to play in, and he's picking up guys, usually the best player, the primary ball handler for opposing teams, up and down the court.
Started 74 games, played in 79, obviously had that late scary fall. And I get it, like, summer league wasn't his best, but I don't put too much stock into that really whatsoever.
He also put on, you can see he put on a little muscle.
Oh yeah.
He's been in the gym. He's been working.
Yeah. The durability aspect of what Jalen Wells brings to the table, I mean, can't be overstated within this franchise. Like, that's, you know, if you're ranking traits or characteristics that you appreciate among Grizzlies players, I think durability is higher on the list for Memphis than it is for any other franchise in the league. So, I mean, that's a big notch in his corner as well, because you talk about, like, a Vince Williams, and that's not been the case necessarily, and you talk about a Zach Edey, and that's not been the case necessarily. So, I mean, if nothing else, you have a durable player there.
All right, one more. Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake revealing a medical diagnosis today. He has Lyme disease. He just wrapped up his Forget Tomorrow tour in Turkey. JT was in Turkey. And his quote...
Is he out in the woods?
Quote, I've been battling some health issues and was diagnosed with Lyme disease, which I don't say so you feel bad for me, but to shed some light on what I've been up against behind the scene.
I mean, but the fact that he's touring with while dealing with that, I mean, that's remarkable.
Props. Yeah, I was about to say that.
You're saying he's been in the woods because of the Lyme disease?
Like, yeah, you get it from a tick, right?
So he got it from a tick. Well, how else did you think he had a tick and didn't notice he had a tick?
I don't know what's going on in Turkey, so I...
You think he got the tick in Turkey? You think
maybe
he got the Lyme disease in Turkey?
I mean,
that was just the last stop. He's been going around the world. It's a world tour.
I hope he didn't get it on the back nine at Miramichi. I mean...
Oh, no. Watch out.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm just, you know, you just said, hey, he's finishing up a tour in Turkey. Oh, yeah. By the way.
Oh, yeah. But you know,
obviously, I hope he's getting better, feeling well.
Honestly, I had no idea. It's interesting in the USA Today article on this that Justin Bieber and Amy Schumer have also battled Lyme disease. I didn't realize that was so prevalent among our celebrity class.
Yeah.
How many of us may have been dealing with it? We just had no idea because we don't. Can't just go to the doctor.
Go and get checked, you know? I mean, I guess PSA, go get checked for Lyme disease.
Hikers,
right?
And and such.
With your marathon work days, George, you would know if you had Lyme disease right now. I know. I don't know that I would.
I'm fried.
You're just
getting there.
I feel like you're at very low risk. You're in a highly sterile environment.
That's true. Sterile. I don't know about sterile, but
might not be ticks in here. There's
plenty of
things from John Martin in here, but we're gonna probably get some ants, but no ticks. All right, well, we'll take a quick time out. Cobb's going to share some interesting updates on the on NIL. It's changing. It changes so much. It's hard to keep up with. It really should be a weekly, if not daily, topic on this station. That's why Cobb is on the station almost every day. You know, he's probably on Saturdays and Sundays, and I just don't know what time. So we'll figure all that out. But he is here today, and he's going to tell us about this new situation with NIL. When we come back here on & Company on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this edition of & Company is continuing here, Jeffrey Free Show. Kevin Cerrito and David Cobb here. We've got some news developing in the world of NIL, and Cobb's going to explain what's going on, and I'm going to ask him, how is this going to impact the Tigers?
Yeah, so the College Sports Commission, which is this entity that is new to the game and tasked with providing NIL guidance and basically saying yes or no on every single NIL deal of over $600, right? They're been so many iterations of this already within the last month, which basically is the first month of its existence. But today they have clarified that yes, collectives can operate. You can have that third party organization that's somewhat affiliated with your university that exists for the purpose of paying players. However, when you pay those players through your collective, those payments still have to meet what is being called a valid business purpose. And so what that means is the collective can't just say, hey, Johnny Prospect, we're going to give you $2 million, right? Show up for an autograph session or two and, like, you're good. That is not what this is going to be. The collectives can exist, and we weren't sure of that 2 weeks ago. But the language in this new memo, which is agreed to by the power conferences, their commissioners, all of that is basically that, like, hey, the collectives are fine to continue operating, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have the ability to just write checks willy-nilly to athletes for the purposes of their playing, you know, they're playing for your school. So it's a middle ground is what it is, Kevin. I mean, it's the collectives are operating, and that's, we weren't sure of that, but it's not, they're not operating without any restriction.
I mean, how did they decide that that's not the free market value of, we're going to give him a few $1 million to do some autograph signings. He's a spokesperson
That's
for whatever
the
brand it is.
The question, know? That all the lawyers are asking right now, and I'll tell you who's really upset about this. I've talked with a few of them about it. It's the agents, because it's been a free-for-all the last few years in college sports. You've seen agents pop up from every corner of this nation who have no formal training as athlete representatives, who are saying, oh, well, all of a sudden there are thousands upon thousands of athletes that need representation. If I can make 10% off of every NIL deal that they sign, then I'm in great shape. But now, if every deal, even through a collective, has to meet a valid business purpose, then it's going to be a lot harder for these athletic departments who have the ability to spend $50 million on their rosters to actually get to that type of figure and to find ways to spend all that money if the College Sports Commission is rejecting deals for failing to meet what is now being referred to as the VBP. The VBP.
Oh, geez.
There's you a new acronym in college sports, valid business purpose. And so that one, that's going to be the huge sticking point. So there will be more to come on this because that's going to get challenged. And the first time that it'll really get challenged in a really hardcore way is when you see an SEC or a Big Ten and their collective try to sign a quarterback or a star point guard or whatever to a $2.5 million NIL deal that's largely outside of the revenue sharing structure. And this college sports commission says, well, that's not allowed because this deal is not for a valid business purpose. And so that's going to be the big sticking point here. But I think there are some local ramifications. I don't know if you want to get into
that. Yes, I would love to. I would love always when this is happening, I want to know how is it going to impact the Tigers? Because most of the news, it seems like Memphis-wise, it's not great news, right? Because it's seemingly because the budgets are going up and up and up at these other schools that have more money to spend.
Exactly.
While Memphis does not have that conference money that these other schools are trying to compete with get. So how is this going to impact Memphis?
Yeah, so I think it's a good thing that they're really sticking to the valid business purpose principle here. Because if they abandon that, then all of a sudden Texas is not only spending $20.5 million in revenue share as allowed now by the House settlement, but they're also spending another $20 million on top of that through their collective. And that just furthers the distance between your Texas, between your USC, between your Notre Dame, between your Florida, Alabama, and your schools like Memphis, Boise State, even a lot of ACC and Big 12 teams that aren't going to be able to go too far beyond that $20.5 million. I mean, part of the positive to come out from the Memphis rejection of from the Big 12 was that, hey, well, they got rejected by the Big 12, but did you see in this article that Memphis is going to be close to sharing the whole $20.5 million next year? They're not even there yet, and yet there's already other departments all over the country who have sweetheart TV deals through their conferences that are going well above and beyond that $20.5 million, or at least have the ability to. But this valid business purpose principle that was reinforced today by the College Sports Commission is going to keep some of that money from being spent, at least legally, on talent acquisition. So I think that levels the playing field a little bit, because when Memphis goes out to assemble its roster for men's basketball next season and they want to be a top 25 team and they want to compete against Kansas and Duke and North Carolina and Baylor and SEC schools for talent, well, if all the rest of those schools, they have to prove that their deals are going to meet a valid business purpose and they can't do that, then it gives Memphis a chance at some of those players that it might not have had otherwise. So, you know, I think if you're a Memphis fan, you got to be reading hard for this valid business purpose principle to really stand up to whatever legal challenges may be coming its way. And, you know, so far anyway, you know, that they're really sticking with that. And I think that's a good thing for Memphis, right? But like, if you're an agent or you're an athlete out there, right? Like, I don't know, like, you know, obviously, like, who, as you say, Kevin, who defines what fair market value is, right? And so, it's a little bit of a legal quagmire.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But so of course, Memphis is in this, you know, the spot where Memphis apparently does have some great backing from boosters, right? We've seen like there's willing to support and help Memphis get into the Big 12. They obviously didn't get into it, the Big 12. And again, a lot of people are saying not yet. What would you do if you were Memphis as far as the conference realignment situation happens? To me, I honestly, looking at it, I think it's a relief they didn't get in the Big 12. It seems like that would have, at the end of the day, possibly be a waste of money because it's going to shake up again in a few years. So what are you buying yourself into and not taking any money? And by the time you start taking money, that's going to be a whole totally different conference. It just seems like it was probably a relief that they didn't get into that deal because you're going to be buying something that's going to be devalued pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting take on it. I mean, you would have kind of handicapped your spending power a good bit by investing everything that you were just to get there and kind of volunteering, right, maybe in a sense, to make yourself a doormat just to kind of get off of the sinking ship, which is the American. Although we'll see how far soar the eagle can take them. I do think the bracket thing.
What do you do? What do you do if you're Memphis right now? I mean, the American's doing. You got to commend them as far as if you're going to be in one of these conferences. That's not one of the big conferences. They're trying their best to make Memphis happen.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the knee-jerk reaction is let's go back to the Pac-12, you know, right? Because prior to the whole Big 12 situation coming to light, you know, a year or so ago now, there was this conversation about Memphis going to the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is obviously rebooting with Oregon State, Washington State, teams from the Mountain West. And so, you know, that's attractive because it's better competition, especially in football and certainly in men's basketball than what you're getting in the American. And so I get all that. Logistically, though, and financially, I don't know that it's worth it because nothing that they've presented or that I've seen says that, A, the money's going to be really any better out there, and that, two, that you won't have to pay a massive exit fee from the American only to sign yourself up for another massive exit fee in the Pac-12 at a time when we know often...
But do you think there would be one? Like, I feel like you're just finding your new home when you go to the Pac-12 at this point. Because, like, isn't everybody going to fall down? Isn't everybody falling down? Isn't there going to be a trickle-down effect on this next explosion of the conference realignment?
Well, I think what's going to happen in the next explosion is the teams that are going to fall down are the teams in the ACC that are not named North Carolina, Florida State, Clemson, because I think those teams are itching, chomping at the bit.
But you think the ACC will still be together and trying to recruit and strengthen the ACC?
Yeah, some version of it. Some version of it will still exist.
And Memphis would need to pay the Pac-12.
Exactly. And so if you pay $20 million or $25 million to get out of the American to go to the Pac-12, and then the ACC wants you, oh, shoot, now we got to pay another $20 million to get out of the Pac-12, when if we had just stayed in the American for three, 4 more years, like we you know, that wouldn't have been the case. And what did we really gain? I mean, maybe you generate some more season ticket sales by having Oregon State and Washington State and Boise State come in here. Maybe that's interesting for a couple of years, but I don't buy the fact.
I do think you get some ticket sales, but I also think you get some legitimacy for this football team. Of course, I guess it doesn't need it right now. In this current era, like every year, Memphis has a chance to make the college football playoffs under the current system. They have a chance when they never had one before. And I still think people don't even understand that, right? Until it happens, I don't know if Memphis fans will ever understand that every year now Memphis has a chance to make that, you know? And that's why I think there should be pressure on Ryan Silverfield and this team to make that happen, because that is a statement that Memphis can make, can spend their money and put it towards that, and make a statement in football, because they have a path that's easier than Cincinnati and all these teams they used to be in a conference with. Memphis has an easier path there. They just got to be better than Boise and some of these former, you know, the Pac-12 teams, and they can make the college football playoff.
You actually have a better chance of making the playoff, Kevin, from the American than you would if you went and joined the Pac-12. Because you're going to be playing tougher competition in the Pac-12. It's going to be harder to emerge from that fray, especially when you got to be flying across the country four times a year, two different time zones, figure out the logistics of getting into Corvallis or into Pullman. Where it would help you is in basketball, where it feels like in the American, every regular season conference loss is just a seed line drop in the bracketology. I mean, that it's just brutal. You got to get through the American in basketball with three losses, really, to preserve your at-large candidacy. It would help you in basketball from that standpoint because, all right, you drop a road game against Colorado State, you drop a road game against Boise State, those might actually be quad one games on the road against those former Mountain West schools and Oregon State, Washington State, depending on kind of where they're at. And so, I mean, it would help you a lot from a resume-building perspective in basketball, but... I mean, at what price?
Right. I agree with you. Could Memphis get, if they're staying, well, obviously they're this next season and the next season, they're still going to be in the American as far as we know, but could they be creative with that budget that they have and do something totally different and just do more buy home and home games or something? Like, say, call up whoever you want to play. You want to play at North Carolina. I'm just using them as an example because they played them recently. But like, hey, we want to do a home and home with you. We'll come there. We will pay for everything for you to come here, and we will kind of do like a buy game for you to come here, but we do a home to home. Try to find some partners that you could pay, use that $200 million in theory that you have to just get more teams to come in non-conference play and just stack your non-conference because you can control that.
Well, I think they're doing a good job of it now, but the next thing that we, you know, to build on what we saw from the American today, where they're gonna roll out the red carpet for the top teams in the conference tournament, give you that bye to the semifinals. The next thing the American can do to help Memphis is to drop from playing 18 conference games to play 16 conference games. Because, Kevin, then you can add two more of those games that you're talking about. because you'd much rather play North Carolina. You'd much rather play another SEC team. Penny's shown the ability to get those teams on the schedule. So if you drop two of your league games, then you have two spots to fill. You spill, instead of playing Rice and Tulsa again, you go out and play a team from the ACC and a team from the SEC, your resume is that much better. So
is that something that's realistic? Do you think there could go to that? The Tigers would push for that?
I think they should. I think they should. I don't know. Now you're talking about, you know, does the rest of the American sign up for that? Because I think in all reality, Tulsa and UTSA and Rice, you're going to drop two league games from their schedule and they're going to go out and...
There's too many damn teams in that conference. Well, I mean, honestly, there's just too many teams.
They're not going to schedule Big 12 or ACC teams. They're going to schedule Texas A&M Corpus Christi and Sam Houston, right? And then that...
And they get their Memphis home game, you know, and they're excited.
And that's that's their version of playing, you know, North Carolina or whatever. And so, no, I mean, it would be great for Memphis. I just don't know if the rest of the league would be on board with that and really do what they would, what they
but that's
should.
That's a realistic solution that could cost Memphis not much at all, money-wise, to pull it off.
Yeah, so, it's, I mean, you've seen...
If they got the American...
Well, I'm copying the WCC's blueprint, because that's what they did for Gonzaga. They dropped the number of league games, let Gonzaga schedule gangbusters, and it worked out well for Gonzaga until Gonzaga finally got out and got into a better league.
And that's... And this is stuff I wish... And, I mean, Ed Scott was just on the scene, right? He just got here last year when the Pac-12 stuff popped up. But when that was going on, I was like, I hope Memphis is negotiating, you know, because if you had a suitor and you can use that to your advantage with your current conference, and they obviously didn't come to those deals at that time. Maybe some of this stuff was like the postseason tournament was a conversation back in the fall last year or not. But like Memphis needs to use that negotiation power like coaches do all the time, right? Like, hey, we're talking to the Pac-12, and then say, okay, well, we'll stay if you reduce this for a little bit longer.
Exactly.
You know?
And Tim Pernetti was in town, I mean, within the past year, the AAC commissioner, and I would imagine, and you know, he was in town around the time they were talking to the Pac-12. I think those discussions happened, and I think what we see today or yesterday or whenever this announcement came out from the American about the conference format changing is a reflection of the desire to keep Memphis happy. And so if we can see more in that vein, I'm not saying it in any way decreases your appetite to leave, but it sure makes staying at least a little more palatable in the short term.
And like the St. Jude game, which hasn't been officially booked for this year, there are these creative things that Memphis can do that can possibly, because hopefully that becomes a regular season game, right? We want the St. Jude game every year to be a regular season game against a high-profile opponent, and that just gives Memphis another opportunity to play somebody. The focus on the non-conference schedule is something Memphis can control at best they can. And I just think keep stacking that up and get yourself some quality wins and losses, obviously, will happen in there, too. We're taking a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll tell your story here on and Company on 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, time to tell your story here happening right now. My world colliding with Cobb's world. Press conference from the President of the United States alongside Triple H. That's right. That Triple H. The president expanding the President's Sports Commission, which will include Triple H. And it will, quote, be working on college football in terms of what happened. It's a mess. What they're doing with college football, and the fans are upset about it. Players are being taken from team after team and traded around like playing cards. Do you think, Cobb, is this an accurate portrayal of what's happening?
He's really assembling the troops. He's got Bryson DeChambeau, Harrison Butker, Triple H. Say what you will about the president, but he is really serious about telling his story in the sports world.
And he's got plans for sports, so we'll see if he can do anything. Also, he has completely revived the presidential fitness test, which we'll have George take tomorrow live on air. Are you ready, George?
Yeah, no, thank
24
you.
Hours to train.
I think this is just...
Sir, two of those I'm working for you, so no, I don't.
All right, that's it. That's it for today's show. I want to thank Eric Hasseltine for joining us. Cobb, this was fun. We'll have to do it again when Jeffrey takes a vacation in 5 years.
Let's do it.
All right. Stay tuned for Gabe Kuhn. I'll be back here tomorrow. Until then, I'll see you around the territory.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.